Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avantcard. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.
Mairead Lavery joins us once again. Mairead, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. And I know it's blustery and windy and everything out there, but I got into the car this morning quite early and it was 13 degrees, which is absolutely...
I know, it's mad, isn't it?
It was positively balmy. The snowdrops are up. They're already out.
Yeah.
Well, they're not out yet, but they're up. Their little noses are gone above ground level. The daffodils are actually, their noses above ground level as well. Like, it only seems like 3 weeks ago since we were in the middle of summer.
Mm.
From a farmer's point of view, yeah, the weather isn't great at the moment, but we've had such a good run for the last couple of months. And to be able to get to the end of November with livestock going indoors now for the winter.
But you wouldn't put them out just because of the time, they'd be blown to bits.
No, but I mean, if we had hoped we would get this, what they call, you know, kind back end, and that's not being insulting to anybody, but that we would get that this winter, and that's exactly what's happened. So Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at the moment are all full up of these, you know, cows or cattle being brought into sheds, and this is the last of the grass of 2018. And, you know, it's a bit of a celebratory move because, you know, what we hoped for, we got for the last couple of months.
Yeah. Can we start talking about mushrooms? Because it sounds a bit sad, really.
Well, it does, yeah. The mushroom growers have been under awful pressure. And you know, there was a great hope about mushroom growing, you know, 10 or 15 years ago. An awful lot of people got into the business. They put up four or five houses. You know, it's a pretty tough lifestyle. You're in the dark the whole time.
My family that went into that business as well.
Yeah.
And the exchange rate between Ireland and England at the time did for them. Yeah. It did for a lot of growers.
Absolutely. And it's continued to do that. You're talking about, you know, there's 3,300 people employed in the sector at the moment. But in the last 30 years, the number of growers has dropped from, guess what, 700 down to 50. Like, that is absolutely carnage. And commercial mushroom producers represent about 90% of these. And they say that since Brexit, the Brexit referendum last was in June 2016, that 40% of producers have had to leave the sector. Like, that's really, really significant. Now, mushroom growing is totally exposed. And one of the biggest problems it has is, well, it's not a big problem. Well, it is a problem. Our market is 95% of what we produce are sold into the British market.
Yeah.
So we've to compete against our EU partners in Poland and Germany as well for that market. But we've been very successful at getting it. And even though the numbers of farmers growing mushrooms has declined absolutely, like, hugely, the volume of production has stayed up at around the 95% of peak level.
So it's consolidated around
big growers, you know, with more houses. So the volume of mushrooms hasn't changed that amount, that much, even though the number of farmers producing them has. But what's happened is that the sterling differential the pound differential to the euro has made, you know, has literally cut the margins to the bone and even further that the mushroom producers have. And they're not comfortable with it. And you're talking about, they're saying they need around, you know, a sterling, you know, it's gone from what, 72 to 90 cent against the EU. And what they're talking about is about 81% to have any sort, 81 cent to have any sort of living out of it or any sort of comfort out of it. And so the issue with sterling, and I mean, that's going to continue, you know, when we see what happens with Brexit in the next couple of months.
We don't know. Yeah.
And over the transition period. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there and what way sterling versus the euro is going to settle. But then the other issue that's hitting them very hard in terms of cost is the price of straw. Now, mushrooms and straw. Straw is the main raw material component that goes into the compost mix that they have. And straw, they're now in competition, serious competition from dairy farmers in particular, because the dairy guys have, you know, expanded the number of cows, a lot more calves that need to have bedding, nice, fresh, dry straw. And then added to that, the number of tillage farmers, the amount of tillage being produced in the country has fallen. So this year they had to go as far as Spain and Portugal to source straw. And of course, it wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
And that's added to their basket of woes at the moment. So when you when you look at those little mushrooms, you know, it's a very tough industry to work in and to be involved in. The growers associations or the mushroom producers, what they try to do is they're trying to kind of keep ahead of consumer trends. And one of the things they're doing now is vitamin B12 to get, you know, fortified mushrooms, because, you know, they're a big part of a vegetarian's diet.
Mm.
And that's B12 is a difficult vitamin to get. And but it can be got through the fortified mushrooms. So that's one of the things they're doing to try broaden their appeal and, you know, be there with the consumer trends.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way. Staying still is not going to keep that market going.
And I think it's changed a little bit. But I would imagine that the mushroom industry is still suffering from a thing that's enforced upon them, where all the big retail chains want are small, closed cup, dinky looking. Yeah, the big ugly ones no one wants to buy, even though they're every bit as tasty, if not more
very,
so.
They're the very same. Yeah. They just kind of grew overnight.
Yeah.
I mean, and I've been in mushroom houses where, like, you go in and then you go back in again a day later and they're like, oh, my God. You know? And the sheer job of going at them. But look, it's a tough line for the sector. And who knows what's going to happen with sterling the euro
hopefully
when Brexit kind of whatever happens over Brexit over the next couple of months.
Now there's been two big studies reported on. What were those studies into?
Yeah, well, we've talked about sexy semen here on the show a couple of times, and so if you're a dairy farmer, what are you looking? You've got maybe 150 cows, and you're looking for replacement heifers. Replacement cows. So you'd like to have heifer calves, and heifer calves are girl calves. So, you know, up to now you took your chances. You know, you either went AI with the AI stations, or you had stock bulls on the farm, and, you know, you go down and you could have a run of little girls in the shed, you know, heifer calves, and you'd be delighted with yourself. Or you could have a run of bulls and you'd be saying, oh my God, you know, where am I going to do with them? And we've had this talk for a while now about sex semen. So that you could actually get semen that's already sexed. So, you know, your first 50 cows that come in heat, they're going to get the AI through sex semen.
Yeah.
And then maybe you want to have the rest of your cows calving to a brief bull, so that you have a better chance of fattening those animals for meat production.
Mm.
So that way you get the mix that you're looking for. So they've been, you know, doing trials on it and seeing how it would work out. And one of the trials anyway is 10 bulls were used, and they were from UK, from Ireland and from Holland. And the Irish semen, when it was taken from the bulls, had to be taken over to Holland to get it tested. And what they discovered was that the semen that was stayed in place, it didn't have to be transported, had a better success rate.
Yeah.
Makes
sense, really.
But
yeah.
We have no sex semen clinic in this country. Now, you'd think with the big expansion in the dairy herd and the particular requirements they have for the kind of, calves that they want born on the farms, that actually that's something that we're certainly in need of looking at doing.
Yes, yeah.
The other thing that they discovered was that, it was the conception rates. What they're trying to get is, you know, conception rates are around, in the conventional way of, you know, your bull or whatever, you're looking for good conception rates, because, you know, if animals go out of sync or they go out of season, you know, it pushes them back into a different part of the year. You know, you're going to be milking for longer, especially if you're in the dairy business. So what they're looking for is up to 90% of to within 90% of the commercial semen, that, you know, there would be that conception rate. But the figures at the moment coming out are only about 76%. So we're well back on what they're trying to get there. So two little issues, just conception rates and traveling with the semen. Far better to stay in situ and be tested and worked on there.
Marie, thanks a million for coming in to us. Marie Delavery from the Farmers Journal there. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief on News Talk,
sponsored by Avant Card. With personalised pricing, our rates are made for you.